Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I am Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And today in our episode, as you know, we love talking about fitness, nutrition, wellness, business, but today we've got a special little podcast for you where we're actually going to be learning a little bit more about our head chick, Laura Jackson.
Oh, I feel like I'm on the hot seat.
You are.
I'm sweating.
You're totally on the hot seat, except for don't worry. It's really what we really want to focus on today, what I'm going to be talking about and asking you about is really just about your own fitness, your own wellness, your own nutrition, that kind of thing, to help inspire others and all of our listeners out there to see, you know, to get some insight into you, but also to maybe get an idea of like maybe different things that they might want to do in their own personal lives. So are you ready, Laura? We're just going to dive in.
I don't know why things like this, like when I'm on the spot and I'm like, oh, okay, let's do it.
Jump in, both feet. We're doing this. Okay, so I'm like the interviewer. You're the interviewee. I love it. Okay, question number one. And be honest. Just kidding.
You're so Barbara Walters.
I know. Okay, so Laura, tell us how you first got into the fitness industry, why you feel like it's your path that you really want to follow, and why it's really important for you to help kind of lead others down this path. Big question right from the jump.
Oh, I know. You're going deep. We're going deep today. Well, getting into the fitness industry, it was kind of like a natural progression because I always loved fitness. Like from a very young age, I always loved reading about fitness and nutrition and trying at-home workouts and, you know what I mean? Like reading recipes and all that stuff. But I also, that was also very tied into, I was obsessed with weight. So I always wanted to lose weight. You know, like I remember going on my first diet when I was 13.
Wow.
My mom was on a diet. Yeah. Which, you know, then when you get those unhealthy obsessions, it was weird. It was like this love-hate relationship. Like I loved like learning about fitness and I loved reading about nutrition, but I felt like it was this hate because I felt like it was the only thing that could, you know, make me happy was if I was skinnier. So then these things became negative. You know what I mean? Like they were like negative things. They weren't fueling my, not goal, but I wasn't getting to where
serving you really.
Yeah. I wasn't getting to where I wanted to be necessarily. So anyways, the long, long story short, you know, I was, and you are part of this journey, got to a place where I was, you know, drinking all the time, smoking cigarettes, stressed out, really anxious, like really unhappy in my life. Almost 200 pounds. Like just even looking at the pictures, I just look not only like bloated and puffy, I just look so dead, like my eyes, everything in me. And I apologize if I get emotional during this podcast because it's just really hard when you look back at yourself in certain times in your life. And yeah, see, here we go. This is why I did not want to do this sweaty interview as I start to get teary.
No, it's okay. This is like, this is your space to be honest and help others that may be going through the same thing.
Well, it's just because it's never about the outside. You know what I mean? It's always the outside reflects what's going on in the inside. So if you're carrying on to extra weight or, you know, unhappiness, even wrinkles on your skin, it's reflecting the way you're treating your body on the inside. And I wasn't treating my body well, and I wasn't treating my emotional state well. So, you know, I decided that I wanted to, you know, really get into a program to start to make some changes in my life. And I, you know, really put a focus on making changes on myself. And then I saw what the power of health and fitness could do and how much better I just felt emotionally and physically. And again, it was always my passion because I loved reading about it. And this was around the time that, you know, I got to a place because I battled with an eating disorder for 15 years. I got to a place where I just couldn't be that person anymore. Like, you know, when you're you've done something for so long where you're so self-loathing and you're just so tired of it. Like, you're just like, I can't do this anymore. It's like the day when you, like, even if you reach a certain weight and you're just like, I can't bear feeling tired anymore. I can't bear squeezing into these jeans anymore. Like, I can't do it. So then, you know, when I started going through my own personal transformation and really seeing the changes physically, emotionally, then I want to get certified. So then, you know, you and I got certified together and then we started teaching. And then from there we created Fit Chicks because we realized from the very beginning that it was never just about the exercise. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like I just, oh, exercise to look better. It was exercise was like my moving meditation. It was healing me from the inside out. It was, you know, it was my release. It was so many things. And we knew that other women needed that and they needed it in a safe place where they felt comfortable. So that's my, how I got, long convoluted story, how I got into the fitness industry.
And so you said that you dealt with an eating disorder for about 15 years. Would you say that that was your biggest personal struggle?
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
And how did you overcome it? Or did you?
I don't ever like to say I overcame it because I always think that with anything like that, with any type of addictive behavior, mental health issues, anything to do with a behavior, I always have to be aware of it. You know what I mean? It's like being a smoker, or like if you were an alcoholic, you always have to be aware of the fact that you cannot have a drink. It's the same thing with, you know, with bulimia. It's being able to recognize the signs before I was about to go through, like, I always called it down like the rabbit hole, you know, of where I can feel myself spinning and you're about to have an episode. So even though I haven't had an episode in years, I always have to be aware of it. So emotionally, when I feel myself getting a little out of check, I'm like, whoa, take a step back here. This is not, you're not in a good place right now. You know what I mean? Like, make sure you're talking about it with your friends and family. Make sure you're doing certain things that are feeding your soul and good for your body. Like, you're not just letting, you know, ignoring.
Right.
So for me, like, it was definitely the biggest personal struggle because it wasn't just the eating disorder. It was the self, like, I just did not love myself. And I always get so emotional when I talk about this. Like, here we go again.
It's an emotional thing. It's, you know, of course it's going to strike a chord because it's something that still is, it doesn't necessarily, the self-loathing doesn't exist anymore inside of you, but it's a memory that is embedded in you, I believe, you know? It feels to feel that way.
Yeah. And I feel like self-love is like, it's such a struggle for so many people. And we do things, we make choices that a lot of times when you don't love yourself that are so bad for you just because you don't think you deserve more, you know, or you do things like, or surround yourself with people that are bad for you, like, cause you just think you're not worth more. And it's so sad to me. Like, I just see how amazing so many people are and I just want them to realize their potential. Like, that's even why in our fitness and nutrition expert program, we talk a lot about this in the wellness section and a lot about, you know, the mental side of fitness and health, because it's such a huge part of, you know, being able to love yourself and being able to let go of a lot of things that you thought of the way things should be. You know, I always talk about, you know, we always have this idea of like how your life should be. Like, I'm 36. I should be married. I should have kids. I should have a house. I don't have any of those things. Does that mean I'm less of a person? No. You know, like, but it's letting go of that. So for me, there's just, it's been a long journey, and I know I was given the struggle for a reason. I always truly believe that. And I still deal with it in the sense of I still have to be aware of it and I still know it's there, but it's taught me so much about myself. And I feel like even just this year alone, I'm just at such a different place with being proud of the woman I am as opposed to always fighting myself.
That's great. Well, so now that we talked about your biggest personal struggle, what would you say would be your biggest fitness goal, specifically around fitness, goal that you've accomplished to date?
After we just had therapy 101 with Laura.
I think that all of that's really important stuff, because I think that a lot of our listeners wouldn't know that about you, and to see from both sides of the coin, I think it's very important. So that's sort of why I wanted to lead with that, with the sort of dive deep stuff, because showing them who you are and then showing them what you've accomplished and then going through just sort of, you know, a few other questions I have for you, but going from that side to then show you people where you're really coming from, I think it's a really important thing. So,
well, and that's one thing I think, just to add to it too, and I'm not afraid to be vulnerable and I'm not afraid to share. Like, I am an open book. You can ask me anything and I'll tell you. But I also think it's really important, you know, for anyone who is listening and who is looking to get into the fitness industry, or, you know, is working in the fitness industry and feels like they're not fit enough to do it. You know, like, I got into the fitness industry and I was never sporty growing up. I was never an athlete. I always battled with my weight. I always battled with body image issues. And just because you're not there yet doesn't mean you can't start to share that, you know, share your craft and start to help others do it. Because by helping others, you end up helping yourself.
Of course. No, for sure. And I also think, to add to what you were just saying, I think that, you know, even if you feel like you don't look the part, you look the part to someone, you know, you're inspiring to somebody. And it doesn't necessarily mean, just because you don't look a certain way or, you know, have a six pack, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't be one of the best trainers and one of the most inspiring people out there. So don't let something aesthetically hold you back from doing what it is that you would love to share.
Completely. Like even when you were saying, so what was my biggest fitness goal? Do you mean one I've completed or one that I've...
I mean, just in terms of like your own personal, like when you sort of do self-reflection, whether it be current or whether it be past, what would you say from a fitness perspective would be your biggest goal? Like, you know, it could be anything. I know a lot about you, so I don't want to lift the cat out of the bag.
Let that kitty out. I think one of, obviously, the biggest fitness goals that I accomplished was doing a fitness competition. Even though I have a lot of mixed emotions about fitness competitions, and I wouldn't recommend anyone to do one unless they have a extremely good coach and you are a certain, you know, type of person, you don't have any body image issues, because there's a lot of other shit that goes along with it that people don't talk about. They just think, oh, I want to do the competition and I want to get super fit. But they don't also tell you that a lot of times if you don't have the right coach, you are damaging your body. You are completely damaging your hormone levels. You also are coming out of it, you cannot look at your body the same. So there's a lot of things that aren't talked about. It seems very fluffy and glorified. And then, you know, the secret world after you're done and everyone gets together and talks what's going on, they're all in the same experience of like, whoa, I cannot look at myself. You can't look at yourself in the same way, because you can't stay that lean, right?
Yeah.
But so for me, my biggest fitness goal right now is I'm working on building my butt. And I've talked about this in other podcasts about how like I'm very quad dominant, and I also have an aversion to doing legs. So right now I'm really focused. I'm on a 12-week program that's very focused on like power lifting more, like heavier lifting.
Yeah.
Just to really build up my lower body strength. And I don't just want to build up my butt because I want like a nicer butt, which is a great, this is the thing, it's a great bonus, but I try not to train for like aesthetics. I try to train also always for like measurable. So, and also just to get stronger. So that's kind of my fitness goal right now.
So is it then, because if you're not necessarily training for aesthetically, is it because you're trying to build up your muscles and your glutes so that your quads will not be so dominant?
Well, yeah.
Are you looking for more balance in your body? Is that sort of what you're saying?
Yeah. Like I just want a stronger butt. Like I just really want a stronger butt.
That's funny. Okay. Well, so then on that token then, what would you say your favorite type of workout would be and why?
Well, I love lifting heavy weights. Like I do love weightlifting. Mm-hmm.
And why?
Because I love the way it I love feeling strong. And the thing is too, is like, if I'm flexed, I have good muscle tone. Like if I'm not flexed, I look, you know, fit, but normal. So it's not like I get, you know, we've talked about this a lot. Like you're not going to get bulky if you lift heavy weights, but I love muscles, on a girl, like not big muscles, but well, even big muscles. I like those too, but I love looking strong and I like feeling strong. And that was one thing when I did the competition at the end, I felt so small. Like, even though I was like, had a lot, like I built muscle and I was strong, I didn't feel like myself. I felt very small. And I like feeling like I have a presence. I like feeling strong. I like feeling, like good in my body. So for me, weightlifting does that. So my favorite workout, yeah, like would be definitely doing, it's usually weights and then HIIT following.
Okay. And what is,
I'd only do HIIT depending on what my, if I'm looking to build muscle, I only do one HIIT a week, which is 12 minutes after following a weight session. If I'm looking to lean out, then I do more HIIT.
And just to make sure, just that all of our listeners know, can you just describe what HIIT is really quickly for them?
High intensity interval training. So, you know, you go as hard as you can for an interval, and then you do an interval of recovery, and then you go as hard as you can again. So, you know, within 12 minutes, like you can never really do HIIT more than 20 minutes. If not, you're not going hard enough. So, mm-hmm. you know, it could be something like if you were at the gym, it could be something like intervals on the bike. So you could be like biking as fast as you can, like bike sprints for 30 seconds and then, you know, 30 seconds of regular biking. And then again, 30 seconds as hard as you can go. So it really shocks the body and it burns a lot of calories really fast.
Perfect. And then, so what would be your number one tip that you would give to all of our listeners about their own fitness routine and why?
I'm such a believer in consistency. You know, I think I was talking to one of my friends the other day and it's so funny because she has just really embraced her fitness journey. She dabbled for a while. She had two kids and then she put on a lot of weight with her after her second baby and she couldn't lose it. So she was, you know, finally decided that I'm committing to my fitness and I'm doing this. Like I'm eating well, I'm committing to my workouts. I'm scheduling time in for myself. So she sent me a text the other day and she's now dropped 20 pounds and she's dropped like six sizes. She looks amazing and she feels amazing, which is more important. But she was saying how in this text message about how, whoa, isn't it a crazy concept? Like regularly exercising and eating healthy actually works. And I'm like, I know, who knew about this crazy fad? Like, and that's my biggest tip is be consistent. Like don't just jump on the train and do something for 2 weeks and then just give up because the results and the changes, they won't show up in 2 weeks. You know, it's as boring as it sounds, it has to be a lifestyle change. So I just always think fine. If you don't think you're at a place where you can be consistent by yourself yet, then get out there and get involved in a program. Get involved in a program, like for example, like even our FitChicks Bootcamp. You know, you sign up, it's 4, 8, or 12 weeks. It's 2 times a week. So you're already committed to that flow. Or get a personal trainer. You know, get something that you have to be accountable to so you can make it the habit and then you can be consistent for the long term. That's consistency mm-hmm. for sure.
I agree. And I agree too, that once you get into the habit, you then, it becomes your life. It becomes your lifestyle, not your life. It becomes your lifestyle. And to the point where you though, then you can get to a point where you maybe no longer require to, you know, have a trainer anymore because you're so committed to yourself. You get to a certain point. Like I'm so committed to my fitness that, you know, every day it is a priority. It is my number one thing that takes precedent almost over anything else. And that's sort of, you know, it sounds selfish, but it's not. It's actually completely selfless in a way because I'm taking care of my health for my growing baby, as well as for my family and for my friends and for my business and for so many things. It's so important. So,
oh, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Like workouts are non-negotiable.
Exactly.
And that time every day is non-negotiable. And everyone in my life knows that. Like that, because if I don't work out, you don't want to hang out with Laura. Like I'm not a nice Well, I am nice, but you know what I mean? Like, it's such a time for me where I do my visualization. I do my, you know, my mental work, a lot of thinking, a lot of my moving meditation. Like, it's such a time for me to kind of regroup that if I don't do it, I'm just like, wah.
Totally. Okay. Well, moving over now to the nutrition side, because I know that you're really focused on nutrition. You're in the process right now of doing your IHN. So your holistic nutrition certification, and you're also a culinary nutrition expert and a nutrition wellness expert. And you have this as like a really big focus of yours outside of just the fitness side. So what part of the nutrition aspect of health and wellness really intrigues you the most?
Oh,
what gets you excited?
I love nutrition. Because you can change your entire life just by eating real food. Like, there's so many things you can manipulate within your body, obviously, by eating different foods. Like, but food, it can kill you or it can heal you. And it's just, if you eat real food, that's the first thing. Like, it will change your life in ways you will never even understand. Like, because so many people, and I mean, even myself included at times, like, when you look at your day of eating, everything that you've eaten is packaged or processed or a protein bar or a protein shake or a, you know what I mean? Like,
everything. It's so easy to just fall victim to that.
Completely. And not spend the time to meal prep and like make food and cook. And so it's really, but we see the shift now. There's such a huge movement now towards, you know, getting into back into like farm to table and real ingredients and, you know, one ingredient foods. Like, if you're gonna eat a broccoli, it's just a broccoli. There's no 50 different ingredient lists on that. So that's really like even what I want to do with everything to do with my nutrition degree. Like, I know a lot of people who really want to get into the medicinal side, like the practical and clinical, like using food to heal a lot of illnesses. And I know how to do that, but my main passion and the main thing I want is just to get people eating real food again, because it will change everything in your life so quickly. Like, your emotions, your moods, like
your energy,
your body, how much you'll build muscle, like everything.
Even your sleeping. Do you agree?
Oh yeah.
And I find when I eat really poorly, sorry to interrupt, but I find when I eat, like if I eat really crappy foods, I have a really crappy sleep. And I also find, and this sounds strange, and I don't know if there's a real correlation between this, but if I eat any kind of cheese in the evening, I always have bad dreams.
I feel like that's like an old wives' tale. I feel like I've heard this.
I don't know.
Nightmares.
Maybe,
like, I feel
like maybe you've heard it from me a few times, because I'm convinced that cheese causes me to have bad dreams. Really vivid, weird dreams.
Yeah. Like, and I know too, like for me, if I've had, you know, a weekend or if it's after the holidays and I've eaten too much, like eaten too much in general, also eaten too much packaged foods, had too much alcohol, I can feel the difference in my like anxiety levels. Like I can't process information in the same way. You know what I mean? Like I can usually, I'm usually very calm. My brain, like if something happens, I can go very logically deal with it. But like if I'm out of whack because I've had too much processed and chemicals and things like that and booze, then I'm just like, I feel very like anxious. Like I can't function, but I'm aware of that. And the thing that's crazy is so many people that they don't even eat real food. Like they're constantly eating, you know, from morning, it's like a bagel. And then at lunchtime, you know, maybe it's a wrap. And then that's full of, you know, processed meats or like Subway. And then for dinner, they have like a microwave dinner or, you know what I mean? Like packaged something that they just think that feeling like that is normal. Like they don't put it together that what they're putting in their body is affecting also not only the way they look, because we always just think about foods to do with weight. We don't think about it to do with how we feel.
So then what would be your top three healthy eating tips or real food eating tips that you could share to our listeners that they can implement like today, like something that's like really simple, but like basic, but something that could be really altering in terms of how they could change their nutrition to better their daily?
Well, I always talk about the complete in three rule, which is like my standby for everything. So that is that at every meal that you eat, a protein, a fiber, and a fat. So that just makes sure that you're getting balanced meals. So you're not going to have blood sugar spikes. And then also that you're getting all three in. You know what I mean? So fiber is, you know, it's basically that's would be your complex carbohydrates. So having things like all of your veggies and, you know, focusing more though on the lower sugar veggies, like a lot more of the leafy greens and stuff like that. So if you do that right away, that will also like make you feel better immediately. Mm-hmm. It's such an easy thing to do because every time you sit down to eat, you just think, do I have a protein, fiber, and fat? And yeah. Then also to eat your protein first. There has been so many studies that because each of those macronutrients, protein, carbs, and fat, they all digest different in the body and they digest in different places. Mm-hmm. So carbohydrates, when you eat your carbohydrates first, they start digesting in your mouth right away. So right away that process has started, your blood sugar is spiking. You know, that's why usually when you eat carbohydrates, you crave more carbohydrates. The studies have shown that if you eat your protein first, so even if you just have a little bit of protein before you get into the carbohydrates,
right,
it actually will reduce the blood sugar spiking by up to 20%.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah. I always, by default, eat my protein first because I don't like it.
Yeah, so even if you're having like, you know, just say it's like toast and eggs, don't take a bite of the toast first, eat some of the eggs first.
Interesting. I'm going to continue to do that because I already do it just because, yeah, for some reason I always save my veggies to the end because it's like usually my favorite part.
Oh, we love those veggies.
I know. Okay. So that's number one.
So number two. Well,
no, sorry, that was number one and two. Sorry.
Well, number one and two. And then
three.
Number three. Well, actually I've got two more. So,
okay.
Of course it's always the real whole food. Like cook, like try to just make your food as much as you can. And if you're buying it out, obviously try to eat at restaurants or pick foods that are real. Like don't eat processed, packaged. It's so easy to do it.
Yeah.
God, now I'm going to have like three more. I keep thinking of stuff. but the next one is just going back to that blood sugar balancing. So of course, like eating the real foods. This has done wonders for me. Don't eat carbohydrates at breakfast. Don't eat them till the afternoon.
And why is that?
It's because carbohydrates, and not to get too like scientific about it, but carbohydrates cause insulin to be released. Okay. And a lot of us, insulin is involved in diabetes and blood sugar balancing, and a whole host of health issues are really tied into blood sugar balancing. So a lot of times and this doesn't work for everybody, but the majority of people and a lot of like people I work with, I know this works, is that once you start on the carb train and, you know, any carbohydrate turns to sugar in the body, you suddenly now are kind of riding that blood sugar roller coaster all day long. You end up craving more, you end up eating more, you end up feeling shittier, you crash easier. So if you tend to focus your breakfast more around fat and protein, and then again, get a fiber, but get it from leafy greens or something, not bread, not anything like that. And then not have your carbohydrates till lunch or later on in the afternoon. See how you feel. Like a lot of times you will feel so much better and you'll be able to manage your weight a lot easier.
Interesting. I always eat oatmeal for breakfast. Maybe yeah. I'll try something else.
Try to switch it to proteins.
I know. I never know what to eat though, because I don't like eggs.
I know.
Especially with my pregnancy, I just can't do it. I can't eat eggs. I make them every day and I can't eat them.
Well, you can always do like, you know, something like a higher fat, like, you know, avocados are such a great source of fiber and natural fats.
Of course.
And then you can get a lot of proteins from different plant sources. We just don't think about them.
Mm-hmm. Like no, for sure.
Seeds and,
For sure. I was just using eggs as like the general example for breakfast foods.
Well, totally. It's most people's go-to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I should probably
stop there. If you have one more tip, you can give it. And then we got to move on because we have one more question for you after this.
Well, I think probably my last tip for that would be don't drink your calories. We consume so many calories through what we drink, and we don't think about it. You know, even with milk, milk is very high in sugar and it's a lot of calories. I actually don't drink milk, and I don't believe most people should drink milk. It's highly inflammatory. It's very hard to digest, unless it's raw milk, so which is illegal in most places. So I go for like nut milks, like almond milk, cashew milk. But just even the amount of calories in milk and the amount of sugar. And then, you know, then you have a coffee that has cream in it that's way more calories. And then you have pop, which is just a sugar bomb, you know, and frappuccinos and all these things that throughout the day that we're literally just pumping sugar and calories into our bloodstream. And we're not getting any nutrition or even feeling full from it. So being more aware of like, okay, I'm going to drink water. I'm going to drink herbal teas. If I have coffee, I'm going to try to drink it black or with unsweetened almond milk. And you'll, again, you'll see a really big difference, especially if you're someone who drinks a lot of things like juices and stuff.
Cool. All right. Final question of the day, and then you're off the hot seat.
And this one is I only cried twice.
And this is just, you know, to give some insight for our listeners as well, to give them some inspiration. So what would be your favorite music to listen to when you're working out? And also, what is your favorite other podcast that you listen to for inspiration outside of the gym? Because we always love to share and sort of, you know, tell people about other amazing podcasts and but definitely your music, because people love good playlists. So what's your go-to for music and what's your go-to for a podcast for inspiration?
Well, for music, I'm totally kind of, I'm totally an 80s chick. Like I love 80s music. I also love 90s hip hop. Like so I go through, I know a lot of people listen to really like hardcore, like really like up fast paced music when they're working out. I tend to actually like more, like I'll go into these phases where I'm listening to like 90s, like R&B or like
on Vogue.
Totally. Like I was listening to Toni Braxton the other day, like lifting heavy weights. So I kind of stay within the same, like, or, you know, Phil Collins. Then sometimes I go into a country phase, but it's usually like something 90s or 80s. And then I'll go on a bit of like a pop tangent too.
Okay. And so then what is your favorite podcast? Because we always want to sort of inspire others and, you know, obviously we want our listeners to love our podcast, but what podcast do you love outside of ours?
Probably my favorite one is Lewis Howes, The School of Greatness.
So good.
So he interviews a lot of amazing entrepreneurs, and being an entrepreneur myself, I love hearing other people's journeys and stories and tips and how all their mistakes that have gotten them to where they are, or lessons, because we never say there's failures, it's always lessons. But I really love his approach. And I always think that working on your mental game is so important. You know, we spend so much time working on our physical game, and then we don't take the step back to work on the way we think and how we look at life. And, you know, I always find like when things in my life happen, I consume all of this information, right? Like I'm listening to all these podcasts. I read all the time. I'm always trying to better myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't really realize that as you're consuming all this information, how much you're really changing till something happens in your life to challenge you. You know what I mean? Like I was having this conversation the other day with my friend, and I was like, I am such a different woman than I was 5 years ago. Like just even the way I react to different situations, because I've given myself the tools to be able to deal with them. And that comes though from a lot of self-work and a lot of, you know, surrounding yourself with like-minded people and listening to podcasts like Lewis Howes and, you know, Tony Robbins, and focusing on the way we think as much as the way we act. So for me, those are the type of podcasts that I love. I also love Balanced Bites by Diane Sanfilippo. She wrote Practical Paleo, mm-hmm. and she's a nutritionist, and she talks about a lot of awesome stuff. I love her podcast too.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Laura, for sharing all of your personal insight and yourself with all the listeners. Now, we always end it with a number one takeaway. So what would be your number one takeaway that you want the listeners to take from sort of what you've shared today?
Oh God, now I feel like I'm getting emotional again. Jesus. just that you're always going to be okay. Really? That no matter whatever is going on in your life, woo, that you will always be okay.
Oh. Well, my number one takeaway from listening to you and, you know, hearing about everything you've had to say and share would probably be to remind our listeners that small changes will have big impact. So when you take, you know, even just the smallest step towards bettering your health, bettering your wellness, taking care of yourself, making those small little changes will add up and make huge impact in your life. So don't be afraid to take those steps and make those changes, because in the end, you will be so grateful that you did. All right. So thank you again, Laura, for sharing and for being so honest and open with our listeners. And I hope you all enjoyed this podcast today. As always, if you have anything that you'd like to hear about, you want us to chat about, email us at fitchicks.ca. Make sure that you're checking us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow our podcast. Our weekly, every Tuesday, we post a new one. And we will be chatting with you again soon. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.